Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading will be found in Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall fall. But they that renew way upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May God bless the reading of his word.
Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. For the sermon part of the service, we're going to have a couple testimonies from the students. But before we get into that, I want to talk about Teen Bible Academy. I know we talked about it a little bit, but I just want to get deep into what Teen Bible Academy is. It is a 3-week program. The first week we focus on solitude. Second week we focus on study. Third week we focus on service. The first week we're out in the wilderness and we spend a week in solitude time, teaching the students, the kids, how to have a proper solitude time with Jesus. The second week is the study week, and we have pastors and teachers come in throughout the week talking to us about different topics, either with how to grow your relationship closer with God or a relationship here, or how to help others. And it's a really great experience. We have been reading books such as Desire of Ages, Acts of the Apostles, The Great Controversy. And then the third week, we've been here focusing in community service, and we've been going out and doing outreach, giving free car washes, giving lunches, making lunches for homeless, lemonade, as mentioned before, and a lot of different things. But all and everything and anything we do is for one purpose only, and that's to honor and glorify our God. Amen? Okay, so our first testimony will be from Isaac, one of our first students, Isaac. He is very courageous. He volunteered to do this because he knows that his life story will impact others as it has impacted himself. So it's your time.
All right. Thank you. And before I start, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you so much for this wonderful church here, letting us stay and helping us with our outreach programs, Lord. And please be with me as I speak and touch my lips and help me to say what you want me to say, Lord. And in your name I pray, amen. So, morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. As you said, my name is Isaac Abugin, and I am 14. And just a little bit of background about me. I was born into a military family. I was born in Guam, and I was raised in... I've kept moving back from Guam to California. Something that always stuck out to me as I look back upon my life was that I was always told to trust God's plan. But, like, back then, I never really say... Like, it was always just at the back of my head. Like, I never took the lessons I learned about God seriously. And God in general was always in the back of my mind. And like I said, I was in a military family, and that meant like my dad was always being deployed. So he'd be gone for like months at a time, multiple times a year. And a military family, of course, we're always moving, and I always had to leave my friends behind after building like strong relationships with them. And every time God put me through trials, I always just kind of doubted, like. Or I'd always blame God. I'm like, God, why would you do this to me? Like, why do I have to leave my friends behind? I'm a good Christian. It's like, why does my dad always have to be gone? And I never really thought about his plan for me or what he does do for me. And the real kicker, I guess, to me, happened with my grandpa. And he got cancer like two and a half years ago. And before this... my family, like, we were mostly just Saturday Christians, you know. We go to church on Saturday, and we pray. We love God, that's it. When my grandpa got cancer, this is the first time, like, we actually started to get together and pray. And even my relatives who aren't even that religious, we got together with them, even though they live 8 hours away. We used to drive every other week or every couple of weeks and get together and pray for my grandpa. And he was getting chemo, and a couple months later, I think like 2 or 3 months after he got cancer, we got a call, and turns out he was healed. And I really wish this was, I was to speak about the power of prayer, but unfortunately, no. And he got cancer again. This time he died. And at first I was really confused, and like I kind of thought that God was playing a cruel joke on us. It's like, yeah, here, you can have your grandpa. Oh, nope. So I was kind of mad at God, just like mad at him, like, because to me, he never really seemed to do anything for me. And like all I ever got from him was just pray to him and hope that it'll get better. Other than that, I never really got anything from him, I guess. But there's this one time after he died, I heard my mom's prayer, and she said, it went something along the lines of this. She said something like, Lord, thank you for the extra days you gave to my dad, and thank you for bringing my family closer, and thank you for helping me to accept your will. And the one thing that stuck out to me was that she said that we know you have a plan for us. And so like me at the time being mad, it's like my grandpa just died, and God hasn't really spoken to me. That I couldn't really get why she would say that. But then I looked around, and through my grandpa getting cancer, I looked around, and my family, we started worshiping again. We started praying to God again, and started worshiping every night. And even my relatives, who I said again, aren't even like that religious. We started going to church with them also. And we started praying with them, and they were starting to open up their hearts to God. And even before that, such as like my dad being gone and being deployed and overseas, that really helped build my character up, and especially because I'm homeschooled. I want to read to you 2 verses. The first one is found in Psalms 31, verse 1. If you would like to turn there. It says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, and let me never be ashamed, and deliver me in thy righteousness. And another one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, and that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So what I learned is that to trust in God no matter what trials you go through. And I want to remind you guys of the story of Job. And though I got nothing on Job, I just want to remind you guys that he was put through a lot of trials, yet he stayed with God, and he blessed him in the very end. And before I close, I want to share one last thing. I just learned it in Sabbath school this morning. And do you guys remember the story of like the walk to Emmaus right after Jesus died? There's these two guys, and they're like really sad that Jesus died, you know, like they wanted him to, be their king and take down the yoke of the Roman Empire or something like that. And, Jesus had to die first to give us redemption, right? But the disciples didn't realize that at the time. And so, the same, I guess, goes for us. So like when trials hit our lives, yes, we can be sure that Jesus is working in the background, preparing us for his plan.
We have really seen the work of God work through his life. Amen. Our next speaker will be another student, Carlos. I invite you up, please. I could talk days upon days about Carlos, but then that would just take away his time of the testimony. And he has a really powerful testimony, so I won't waste any more of your time.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Let's bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything that you have given us, and thank you that I have this chance to be up here and praise your word, Lord. And I ask that you send your Holy Spirit upon me so that you may speak through me. And I don't want to take any of this glory for myself, because this is not my story. It is your story. And I want to thank you for all the trials that you have put in my life and that you have made me stronger, Lord. I want to thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so my name is Carlos. I am 15 years old, and I was originally born in Mexico. I had my mother, and I had my three-year-old sister. And once I was five, me, along with my mother and my sister, moved to the U.S. And when we came to the U.S., my mother got into a relationship with this really cool guy. He used to teach me stuff, and he felt like a father for a while. But then in 2010, my little brother Uriel was born, and he was a real angel, and he was a miracle in my life. And my sister, too. I love them both, but for some reason, that his father had left. I don't even remember his name anymore. But he was an amazing guy, and I don't blame him for anything. I accept the fact that he left, and I accept that he didn't hurt us more than he should have or he wanted to. My mom, she had lots of troubles with relationships. She got into a few abusive relationships, which led her into drugs, and it hurt my heart very much. But as much as it hurt my heart, I knew that I could trust in God. Although I was Catholic, I still trusted in God. We didn't go to church much with my mom, with my real mom, but, you know, I still was a part of that religion. But one day, what happened was my mother had dropped me off at my cousin's house, and I stayed at my cousin's house, you know. My mom didn't have a place to live. We were homeless for a while, and my mother had gone through a very troubling time where her boyfriend would abuse her, and she was tired of it, so she every day from work, she'd drive by this house, and this house was just empty. It was totally empty, and then she got the smart idea to go and take my brother and my sister to that house. And then one day, that day that she dropped me off at my cousin's house, the woman who owned the house actually called the cops on her, and my mom was under some sort of drug. I don't remember what it was, but she was under some sort of drug, and they saw the cops, the sheriffs, they saw that she was an unfit mother. So after that, I was 10, by the way. I was 10 years old, and after that, I was at my cousin's house, you know, getting wet. You know, all the kids were there in the block, and my family was actively involved in drugs. And after that happened, after that took place, I remember that the cops showed up, and they came to pick me up along with my brother and my sister. And they took us to CPS, Child Protective Services, where I later became me along with my brother and my little sister, where we became foster kids. And now we're a part of a wonderful family. But before that, we were part of this other family, our first foster family. And they were okay. They were pretty good people. At the time, I was hurting, so I really needed someone. And they were better than the people than the family that I already previously had. And if you're wondering about my real family, I don't know a lot of them. They were all, like, involved in drugs. And for some reason, they just couldn't accept the fact that my mom had, like, so many boyfriends and she had some money on her. And so they tried to help her out in her times of need, but she was just so involved in drugs, and she was just so messed up from her childhood that she just wasted all that money, all that time. And although she used to get beat, and she was in a lot of trouble at times, she always took us with her. She never once left us anywhere else other than with her. She wasn't the great mother. She tried her best, but she was just not fit to be a mother. And after taking place back to where we were at Child Protective Services, we had gone to this other foster home. And this foster home was great, except our foster mother was a bit forceful at times. She didn't like when we cried. She didn't like when I didn't want to eat, because I was just very depressed, even though I didn't know it. And she was just so like forceful at times, but I forgave her, and I still forgive her. I accept that she was just caring. And the foster dad we had at the moment was a very alcoholic dad. He never hurt us. He never meant bad intentions. He was very loving, actually, but his drinking eventually got him into problems, which led CPS to find out. And when CPS found out, they decided to move us into a different foster home. And me, along with my brother and my little sister, I was 10, my sister was 8, and my little brother was 3. We moved into a different foster home, and I cried and cried and cried, because I was just a huge crybaby. And I didn't know what to do, because I was in charge of my little brother and my little sister, and I was just 10. So We moved into this new foster home. I cried every night and everything. And then my new foster parents, which I know, my new family, which I know as mom, dad, brother, and sister, they're just so loving, so caring. And for 4 years, I lived with this hurt inside of me because I used to see everything that had happened with my mom. And I had spent so much time with my mom. I just couldn't let go. And then being moved from the first foster home, just I was so emotionally attached to them that I just couldn't get over the fact that those things had taken place. But once we came to this new foster home, they were Adventist, Seventh-day Adventist, and they were just so loving. They loved us, even though they didn't know that how long we were going to be with them. They loved us, and you know, it took me a while, but I eventually warmed up to them, and I'm so glad that we are all just here and just happy now. But for the longest time, I had built up this wall for the past 4 years that I've been in foster care. I built up this wall where I just stopped myself from opening up to others. I wouldn't talk about the way I feel. I wouldn't talk about what I was thinking. And that was a really bad time in my life because when I was stopping to just embrace my family and to just embrace how blessed we were by God, but I couldn't get over the fact that, you know, my mother had done the things she did and that we were just in such bad luck. And once I finally got over that here at TBA, I learned so many more things. Like, I tried to fill that emptiness I had inside of myself with girls and with drugs and tons of different other things. But I'm not happy about the way that I was doing it. It led to me being very sick about it. And eventually now I'm just a lot better. And I'm just so faithful to the Lord because He has brought my family, my brothers and sisters, and everyone just so much closer together. And my story isn't my story. It's His story. He's the one who provided this life. He's the one who brought these trials to me and made me stronger. And I'm just glad that all these trials, I've just been really able to just use them in my life recently here at TBA to just influence others because the Lord has blessed me in such a way that I do not understand most of the time. He blesses us in so many ways that we just don't know, we don't understand. But it's okay. As long as we're grateful to Him and as long as we love Him and we know of Him and that we're doing the right thing, then we're okay. And you know, for the longest time, I was in this Christian household, and I wasn't used to, like, going to church every Sabbath. I wasn't used to praying before meals. I was this very ungrateful little kid. I used to get bad grades, and I just didn't believe in God. And I was just shutting myself out from my family, from my brother and my little sister, from my older sister and my older siblings and everyone else. But as soon as I heard about TBA, I was like, okay, I get a chance to hang out with my friends because a whole bunch of my other friends were going to come. But as soon as I got here, you know, my other friends didn't come because of the, like, life choices and everything. But I got here and I realized on the hike up that it's okay to trust God. Like, this was going to change me and it has changed me so much. And I'm just so grateful for the fact that I had this wonderful TBA experience. And I just want to let you guys know a few more things, that God has a different plan for all of us, and He loves every single one of us in different ways. And your relationship is just so special to Him because there's only one of you. There hasn't been another you. And you got to learn to accept the fact that even though you have gone through trials, even though you have been through difficult things, that you can accept those trials and move on. Because there's two paths that you can take. There's a path of redemption and ask for a better life and pray and believe. And then there's a path that you can take which just doesn't lead well and you just lose yourself and lose your family and all those around you. But I decided to take the path which is right and to believe in my parents, believe in their faith, and just I'm so grateful for them. And if you guys would all turn to Jeremiah 29:11, verse 11 through 13 with me. Okay, it says, verse 11 through 13, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And that really stuck out to me because For the past 4 years that I've been in foster care, I haven't realized how blessed I was. I haven't tried to get closer to God. Before this, when I was actively involved with, like, girls and just trying to fill that one empty space I had inside of me, I was so lost, and I wasn't trying to look for God. Like, I would pay more attention in church, you know, I'd do everything, I'd try so hard to pray, but it got to the point where I was just so sick, and I was just, like, emotionally just disturbed. And then I eventually read this verse recently here at TBA, and I just felt like, wow, God has really put a plan in front of me. He has really put a life in front of me, and He has just blessed me in so many ways that I just haven't realized until now. And I repent, and I still remember all the bad things that have happened, but I look on the good side. I look on what He has done for me, not what He will do for me. I look for that too, but I don't necessarily focus on the bad. I focus on the good and what good will happen if I do more good. And I just want to praise His name, and just I really want you guys to know that although you might feel alone, although you might hide yourself from God, although you might build up a wall, it's okay to let that wall down to God, because in the end He has fulfilled me in so many ways that I'm so thankful, and I want to express my love to Him through everything I do, and I want to change the way that I think and the way that I feel and the way that I do things. And if you guys would please turn to Psalms 46, verses 3 and 5. It says, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. And although you might be in the middle of a storm, although you might have troubles, although your ship might be sinking, it is okay because God is in the midst of your storm. He will never leave you, and He will always provide what you need, and He will always be there if you need help. And I just want to thank you guys, and especially the TBA staff, because my very good friend Miguel, I've talked to him like the first week, and he just gave me some really great advice, and I'm just so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all the staff and you guys' work, and I'm just so glad that I have you guys in my life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for everything that You have done for us. Although we might not see the special blessings that You have given us, we just want You to know that we're thankful. And I want You to know that I'm thankful for everything that has happened in my life. All the people that have hurt me, hurt my family, hurt my mother, I forgive them because I do not hold a grudge against them, because that's not what You would do. And in Your name, I just want to say that I'm just so thankful for everything, and that I hope that You bless everyone stays, and that You help them as they go back to wherever they came from. And that I hope that none of us students or staff forget this wonderful TBA experience. And I want to thank You, Lord, for literally everything You have done for me. And I hope that whatever I've learned today and these past few weeks that I may use to encourage others and bring them to You, Lord. Thank You for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, how many more can say amen to that? Amen. Okay, our next student will be a female. Bridget, I invite you to come up, please. So now, Bridget, I've known her since she was in kindergarten, so she's like a little sister to me. And I've seen her grow up a lot, but not a lot of people have. And so now I give her the time so that you may see how God has blessed her life.
Good morning, church family. Happy Sabbath. As you heard, my name is Bridget, and I am 15 years old, and I live in Arroyo Grande, but I go to the Santa Maria Seventh-day Adventist Church. Although I go to church every Sabbath, no matter how many times I walk into the sanctuary, or no matter how many times I did praise songs and led out in worship, I always set other priorities in front of God. I tried to fill the void in my heart with other things like sports and just like little things that brought temporary happiness. And I really just became like a counterfeit of a believer. I was faking my love for Jesus Christ just because I felt like I had heard the stories over and over and over. I was like, yes, I know Jesus. And yes, I know that Saul was blinded and he became Paul. Yes, Moses talked to a burning bush. But nothing really just stuck to me or penetrated my heart. Sabbath school came around and it just became bland at one point. And so I honestly just went to see my friends. And I also love to sing. Singing is one of my passions. And so I joined the praise team. At the same time, though, I did not sing for the glory of God. I sang so I could hear the tone of my voice and so I could just have another opportunity to sing, which is really selfish on my point. But finally, my main motivation for church kept on being, I realized, was to see my friends and just to like hang out with them and have a good time. But unfortunately, God wasn't one of those friends I wanted to see. Now that I look back at it, the church was a place where God really highlighted how selfish I had become and how wrapped around myself I had became. For example, as I said, I sang so I could hear my own voice. I went to church so I could get, out of that house and just see my friends. And it really just became a mess. And then, so that's Saturday, but the six other days, my day-to-day walk with him, that was also a roller coaster. For example, I read the Bible, but I was really easily distracted and I really wasn't paying attention. I had so many other thoughts and worries I was thinking about. Like the Bible was the last thing I was really focusing on. I only read it just so that when the question arose, do you read your Bible? I could say yes. And I just figured that's what a Christian does. That's what all the Christians do. I heard that it's inspired. God wrote it. Why wouldn't you read it? Does that make sense? My relationship with God became so bad, my grandparents noticed, and they literally started paying me money to read my devotional books and to read Ellen G. White and, like, Steps to Christ and things like that. They were just taking, they were trying to get anything. They're like, any way we can get anything into you, Bridget, let's just do it. So I ended up reading those books. They changed me maybe a little bit, but I never pleaded for the Holy Spirit to be with me, and I never really wanted to grasp information from it. Let's see. Inside, I knew there was something wrong. The connection with God was not there. They say, like, God is the vine and you're the branches, but I was like, how is that possible? He seems so distant. He seems so far. I don't feel anything, and I really just couldn't see him in my life. However, praise the Lord for Team Bible Academy, am I right? Team Bible Academy is really where my conversion began, and it all started with Solitude Week, the first week. This was the week I really began to have a personal relationship with God, and I really felt like what it feels like to have the presence of God as I'm reading my devotionals. We went to Yosemite, and the view was gorgeous, and it really just spoke to my heart how divine and beautiful our God is. The second week was study week, and that is really just where I learned why people love God so much and why I love God so much. And it just gave me a more insight on like how the earth got here and just where I'm living. And all the second week really hyped me for the third week, which was community service week. Honestly, I just felt like I was handing out like the key to the everlasting treasure chest. I feel like I had the best gift and I was so excited to share it with everybody. I felt like God had given me a purpose. Or, you know when like an important person gives you like a special responsibility to do and it kind of just helps you keep your head high? That was how I felt during this past week. And all these great things happened in this part of my life, but God was not done yet. It's just kind of crazy, in my opinion, how well God knows us and his desires and our desires and what we love. And so during like halfway through, I lost my voice. It got pretty bad, to be honest. You can ask any of my friends. It was like I went backwards in time. I became a boy and I was 11. But honestly, God did it for a reason. It really taught me how to sing for Jesus and not to sing to hear my voice, because again, I love to sing. But it really taught me to not think about like the tone or the harmony or the notes. But I really learned to focus on the depth of the words as we were singing. And it really just, I just thank him for him so much, because now when I sing, a smile is literally stuck on my face. And this is my conversion. it just really changed me into a genuine follower, and I love God so much more. And He's brought me so much happiness and joy and a sense of peace. And now when I go to church, I want to see Jesus. I really just want to be in the presence with people who love God just as much as I do. But honestly, I'm so thankful God is a God of second chances, because I had no excuse for not believing in Him. I do not have like a crazy testimony like Carlos does, or nothing awful has happened to my life. I've been so, by the grace of God, I have been blessed with two stable parents and a stable childhood. But so I had no excuse for not following God. But now I have thankfully God has now become the center of my life, and He's just really transformed me into a person who wants to work for Him, and He has made me a servant. However, if you can relate to my old self, where you just feel like you're just sitting in the pews or just flowing with the motions, just going with it, just maybe just like not feeling it, I want to remind you that church is not a building. Church is a group of believers that want to come together. It has been put onto my heart to kind of bring like a wake-up call. If you're like half in and half out of the church, I just want to let you know that Satan can be very deceiving, and Satan is very subtle. For example, in my life, I completely lied to myself. I totally assumed that heaven was mine, and I was going to have a mansion right next to Alyssa's. But now that I'm looking back, honestly, I was not saved at all. I literally probably looked at, I thought about God for 5 seconds. I'm good to go. But literally, God was the last thing on my mind. And going with the motions, or just being on the fence about church and about God, is honestly really scary. And it is a really bad place to be in. So if you will flip with me to Revelation 3:15. If you're there, could you say amen? Okay, I'm beginning. Verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Congregation, being lukewarm or half in and half out is only going to confuse yourself. You're only going to put yourself in a situation where you can't figure anything out. At least if you're outside of the church, at least you know you're not saved. At least you know, I have already shut the door of heaven. I know I don't want to be there. But if you're on the fence, you're really just going to mess yourself up. And I know it messed me up just trying to be on the fence. And I just really encourage you to choose one side at least. There's this poem I read about how there's the fence of one side, there's God's side, and then there is Satan's side. And then there was this person on the fence. And then Jesus came up to this person and was like, you can't be on the fence. You know why? Because this fence is Satan's too. If you are on the fence, Satan can still claim you. However, on the flip side, God has so many better things planned for you. So I just want to encourage you to choose God's side, because although it may seem hard to like just make that decision and just go all the way in and let nothing hold you back, I promise you the God of the universe, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the Prince of Peace really wants the best for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know our hearts, Lord, and I just pray that you will just thank you, Lord, that you could speak through me today. And I pray that you will just be with us, Lord, and help us make the decision for you, Lord. I pray that we will all be able to go all in, Lord, and Lord, just follow you. I thank you for everything, and I pray a special prayer for the next testimony, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. I'm really glad that she was really brave enough and courageous to come up here and give her testimony. Our final testimony of the day will be by Logan. Where is he at? Oh, he's right there. Okay. So you can come up here if you desire. I've never known Logan. I met him just the moment he walked into TBA. And since the moment he's walked into TBA, every time we give instructions, he always double checks. He always says, wait, what does this mean? Or wait, where do you want me to go? Or wait, what do you, or he always volunteers as well to do and to guide and help others. And I just really appreciate that about him. And I don't know a lot about his life, but he knows about himself. And I just give you the time to talk.
Please bow your heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you that today is your Sabbath. Please help me to spread your word, and yeah, amen. So as you could tell, the first thing I did was take my glasses off because I'm actually really nervous right now. But so my story, or testimony, I guess, or wait, sorry. I also wanted to thank the staff for these notebooks, because without this, this would be a real pain in the butt to remember. So my story starts out here in Modesto, actually, where I was born, at Modesto Doctor's Hospital. I was sort of born into an Adventist family, as in my grandparents and my dad were on the Adventist side, but then my mom was in and out, like how Bridget said, on the fence. So we grew up, we moved a lot as when I was a kid, and we moved to Nevada, Reno for a while and lived there. That's actually where my brother is born. But so we lived there for a while. After that, my mom like sort of left me, my brother, and my dad, and so we moved back to here, California, with my grandparents. And after that, I got to see her sort of, but not really, but. So, yeah, at my grandparents' house, we actually came here for church and stuff, learning about Sabbath school and going to Sabbath school and learning about God and different things. But because, okay, so as I was growing up later after my mom left, I sort of doubted God, that if he was real or not, because I was thinking, well, why God, why shouldn't my mom be with me? But so okay. So speeding up just a little bit into my life, when I was 7, I went to Camp Wona, and I've actually went there for 6 years in a row. But this is the only year I haven't gone there for summer. But last year, going to Camp Wona actually changed my life completely. We had this speaker towards the end named Eddie Perez, and he made a baptismal appeal, and I accepted that appeal, and I was baptized at Monterey Bay Academy in the ocean that during camp meeting that year. And so that changed my life a lot. But that was only last year, So after my baptism, for like a week or two, I was really excited and stuff. But then I didn't really hold up on my side of with God. And so I sort of drifted away from him. Cutting this short on accident. So going back to the Camp Wona thing, this year instead of Camp Wona, me and my grandparents decided to come here for TBA. And that has also changed my life after the baptism. Here I have learned that God is real and that to trust in Him. Through reading Ellen White books such as, and Miguel said what they were, but The Acts of the Apostles, The Desire of Ages, and The Great Controversy. And those books are actually really powerful, and I am glad that I came here to and got to read those. But I guess I'll go back to my mom. So my mom now is sort of a little better, not as much though. She goes to church and things, and so now she lives in Ogden, Utah. So I don't really get to see her. I'll get to see her at like certain school events. Like she came for my 8th grade graduation. But otherwise I don't really get to see her that often. But I forgot the name of the church, but it's Sunday. It's Adventist, but they go to church on Sunday for some reason. So they might not even be Adventist. I don't know. They just believe in God. So, yeah. So, I guess now I'll do the Bible verses that I have. So, the first one is 2 Corinthians 4:18, if you'd like to turn there. You don't have to, but if you want to, that's fine. Got to find it myself. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Meaning that God, what we see in, like, the people we see and the things we see in this world are just temporary things till we get to heaven. And then God, we can't see Him, but He's there and He exists. I have two more verses. 2 Peter 3:9-18. So the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, though much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. Basically, the people that are saved, I don't really have anything to elaborate on this verse. The next verse is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 and 3. Let me find it real quick. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Us believing in God will lead us to be in heaven with Him at the end times. So I guess that is my testimony. There's more, but I guess I've ended there. So please bow your heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that I got a chance to share my testimony, and hopefully people were blessed by it. Amen.
All right. How many of us were blessed through all those four testimonies? Amen. I know I sure was. I definitely was.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being with us through music and through the word. Thank you, God, for your presence. Lord, for whatever the reason we ended up at the Ceres Church this morning, we pray and ask, God, that we would not leave this sanctuary without knowing that you are with us. Lord, thank you for lifting burdens today. Thank you for showing us the power of grace and love. And God, thank you so much for every person here. We commit ourselves to you as you have committed yourself to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church family.